Colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the phone conference of the BMW Group for the first quarter of 2021. We have Oliver Zipse, the CEO, and Dr. Nicolas Peter, the CFO of the BMW AG here. First of all, we will give you an overview of the development, and then you will have the opportunity to ask some questions. Let me hand over to Mr. Zipse.
Good morning. I would also like to welcome you, ladies and gentlemen. The BMW Group is a global company, and this strategic strength we were able to leverage during the financial year 2020 and also in the first quarter of this year. When the market situation is difficult in individual regions of the world, the other markets carry us through. Since the start of the pandemic, we have done everything possible to create a safe working environment for our employees. That goes without saying. We also offer safe and contact-free delivery of vehicles to our customers. In more than 60 markets, we have set up so-called mobile sales offices. Our new customer brands and sales system is taking advantage of the momentum and growing acceptance of digital services that has been building over the past year. Our strong results underline the viability of our business model, even during one of the worst crises of the global economy. It is robust in demand all over the world and full of innovations, and in many areas, we have picked up the pace once again. I would like to give you a brief overview focusing on three main points. We are on a growth path, and we're growing profitably, we're growing sustainably, and have a clear roadmap into the future. Thirdly, we are shaping the technology for tomorrow's mobility. Let's get started with the first point. In the first quarter of 2021, the BMW Group delivered excellent results. The markets are recovering worldwide. Our diverse product portfolio is reaching large groups of customers, and at the same time, our continuous efficiency measures are paying off. This shows clearly our strategy is having a real impact. The EBIT margin is at 9.8% in the automotive segment in the first quarter. That means we are within our medium-term target range for the first time in 10 quarters. As in the past, this EBIT margin does not include the at-equity result from our BBA joint venture in China. Another indicator of our operating strength is our free cash flow of 2.5 billion euros in the automotive segment, our best figure ever for a first quarter. Our first quarter deliveries also reached a new all-time high. Compared with the first quarter of 2019, in other words, the comparable period before the crisis, group sales increased by 6%. Our total market share worldwide has climbed up to 3.3%, which is a very positive development compared to 2.9% in the same period, 2019. Our performance in the Chinese market stands out in particular. Compared to the first quarter of 2019, again, pre-crisis, our China sales increased by more than 36%. We recently presented our model lineup for our largest market at Auto Shanghai 2021. With highly innovative digitalized electric and above all, exceptionally high-quality products like the BMW iX3, the iX, and the BMW i4, we intend to sustain our growth in China. Our electrified models are also in high demand globally. In the first quarter, we were the biggest manufacturer of plug-in hybrids worldwide. With more than 70,000 electrified vehicles sold in the first three months of 2021, we are on track to have a total of 1 million fully electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids on the roads by the end of the year. That goes back to starting in the year 2013. This also illustrates the success of our flexible architecture strategy. the BMW iX3 is receiving consistently outstanding ratings from the automotive press, not only because of its many impressive characteristics, such as its quality, comfort, connectivity, operating ease, and dynamic performance, but also its range. Its efficient drivetrain puts it on par with electric models with the highest ranges among all brands within its segment. Just yesterday, I met with journalists testing pre-production models of the BMW i4. This car will put e-mobility right at the heart of the BMW brand. I am extremely confident we will be able to build on our e-mobility successes with the BMW i4 and BMW iX. Growth remains our industry's strongest currency. Before the end of the decade, we want to reach the milestone of 3 million delivered vehicles annually. As far as the BMW Group is concerned, we are also growing profitably and sustainably, and we will make sure this continues. Without profitability, there will be no growth. And that gets me to my second point. We are growing sustainably. Sustainability is the new language that connects the world. The three major world markets, Europe, the US, and China, as well as other industrial nations, have set themselves ambitious goals on the road to climate neutrality. They have recently confirmed and even stepped up these targets. The next big binding step will be the year 2030, also for the BMW Group. We have geared our company entirely towards sustainability. By 2030, we aim to reduce our actual carbon footprint per vehicle by at least a third from 2019 levels. In a verifiable and transparent manner, everywhere around the world. During our annual conference, we published an integrated BMW Group report for the first time, which documents our progress and, most importantly, gives equal weighting to our sustainable development and financial indicators. A company does not become sustainable simply by flipping a switch or buying certificates. What counts is not alleged sustainability, but verifiable measures that deliver a real impact. That is why we joined the Science Based Targets Initiative. We think about sustainability in a way that goes far beyond emissions. Energy and resource consumption will be the next, much bigger issue. Raw materials are becoming more expensive. Water and many mineral resources are scarce and valuable commodities. We're seeing that especially right now. This is why it is so important to think in terms of a circular model and reduce our use of materials from the outset. To achieve this, we're relying on partnerships and collaboration across our industry with NGOs as well as political institutions. This requires hard work, investment, and an ongoing commitment. We firmly believe we will add value for society in this way and also become a stronger company in the long term. Let me give you a few examples from the last few months alone. We significantly overfulfilled our CO2 fleet targets in Europe last year. And we are strategically on course to meet the goals for 2021 and beyond. Both for the development of our conventional drivetrains, we were 5 grams below our goals this year, and we will continue on this path. And both further developments of our conventional drivetrains and our electromobility offensive will play a big part in this. What support from the strategic EU programs, IPCEI, which stands for Important Projects of Common European Interest, we are involved in another project that is advancing battery technology. We're conducting research into a new generation of sustainable batteries optimized for use in a circular model, for vehicle use, then for stationary energy storage, and finally for efficient dismantling and reuse of materials. Another example, our suppliers rely on 100% green power to produce battery cells. At the same time, we are increasing our use of secondary material. To give you a concrete example, We're reducing carbon emissions in the supply chain by 17% in the BMW iX compared to the same vehicle produced without these measures. We have signed multi-year supply contracts for sustainable lithium from South America with American company Livent. Livent uses a special method that minimizes the impact of lithium extraction on the surrounding ecosystem. Another example, with immediate effect, we will be sourcing half the aluminum needed by our light metal foundry in Landshut from Emirates Global Aluminium. The aluminum is produced using electricity from one of the world's largest solar parks. With an investment in Bostel Metal, we're also promoting green innovations in steel production. Bostel Metal is working on the industrialization of electrolytic processes in production of liquid iron. We aim to reduce our CO2 emissions from steel by about 2 million tons by 2030. Additionally, we have launched an initiative to protect the deep seas with the WWF, Google, Samsung SDI, and the Volvo Group. We will not source minerals from deep sea mining until there has been a full scientific investigation into the impact. All these examples show that sustainability cannot be taken for granted. It takes a lot of different measures to achieve a large-scale effect, as well as a conscious openness towards choosing the most effective technology in each case. Our ambition is clear. The greenest electric car will be a BMW. However, we also know that we always have to and we will combine sustainability with technology, innovation, and inspiring products for our customers. That is the BMW way, and we will continue full speed ahead. That gets me to my third and final point. We are shaping the technology for tomorrow's mobility. We're once again upping the pace of our electromobility offensive and plan to deliver more than 100,000 fully electric vehicles to customers this year. By 2023, we will have at least one fully electric model on the roads in all key segments, from the compact segment to the ultra luxury class. And also by 2030, at least half our global sales will come from fully electric vehicles. In Europe, we will probably be slightly above that. We are also electrifying all our brands. MINI will release its final model with a combustion engine variant in 2025, and Rolls-Royce electric driving will soon define a new form of luxury. And at BMW, we are ready for a strong market ramp-up for the i4, iX, 7 Series, X1, 5 Series, and other models. We will also be introducing our new and self-developed BMW Operating System 8 with the BMW iX, a new generation of performance, user experience, and a very intelligent driver assistance. In combination with high-performance hardware, we are capable of processing more data live than ever before. The data transfer is 10 to 20 times faster than in previous systems. We have also enhanced our award-winning and safe display and operating concept. BMW Operating System 8 is designed for 5G connectivity with complete functionality for applications like our powerful cloud-based navigation software, BMW Maps. Third-party services can be fully integrated into the operating system. This applies, for instance, to services from Apple, Google, Tencent, and Spotify, which can transform the vehicle into the perfect digital companion. We already introduced over-the-air updates for our vehicles with the BMW Operating System 7. More than 1 million vehicles have already received upgrades. This was a huge success that we will continue to build on. In many cases, our vehicles can be configured with functions on demand at a later date. By the end of the year, we will have the largest connected fleet in the world with around 2.5 million vehicles with remote software upgrade capabilities. And we're already planning the next big step. At the annual conference a few weeks ago, we unveiled the broad strokes of our vehicle strategy from the middle of the decade, the Neue Klasse, electric, digital, and circular. It will be key to the future success of the BMW Group. We're putting all our know-how and considerable investment into this development. The Neue Klasse will establish a new generation of technology modules, targeting maximum synergies and scalability for our entire vehicle portfolio. We will be introducing a new digital architecture and a new generation of electrical systems. We will also be taking the next leap with our electric powertrain and leveraging the opportunities of the new architecture to redesign our batteries. At our battery cell competence center, we are currently testing different cell chemistries, formats, and modules. We aim to realize an automotive-compatible solid-state battery in collaboration with a battery specialist, Solid Power, by the end of the decade. We will present an initial demonstrator vehicle with these batteries well before 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group is on course for success. We are growing and reaching more customers than ever. We are focused on our goal of reaching 3 million units sold in a single financial year within this decade. In recent years, we have been working hard to get back on a profitable track. Today, we're seeing the benefits of this strategy. We're setting the standard with our sustainable global business model. We will eliminate mobility as a climate factor in the long term by implementing impactful and transparent measures in the BMW style. And we are paving the way for the next leaps in technology that will inspire our customers even in 10 years from now. I'd like to say thank you for your attention. Thank you. That was Oliver Zipse, our CEO, and Mr. Peter will continue. Thank you, Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The BMW Group made a good start to the financial year 2021. We have our operating result in the first quarter at a very high level, and we exceeded market expectations. We achieved all of this despite growing headwinds from rising raw material prices and in a market environment that remains volatile due to the coronavirus pandemic. We were also able to maintain the supply of semiconductors in the first quarter. As a result, there were no interruptions in production during the reporting period. However, the situation remains difficult. Significantly improved pricing was a key driver for our strong group earnings. Additionally, the positive trend of the second half year in 2020 continued during the first quarter in all major regions of the world, with over 636,000 vehicles delivered. In particular, our electrified vehicle fleet once again proved to be an engine for growth. Our sales of electrified vehicles more than doubled from the same period of last year to over 70,000 units. This means more than 1 in 10 vehicles we sell is already electrified. This underlines the high and steadily growing importance of electromobility to our company. We took advantage of the past year to make ourselves more efficient and more profitable for the long term. In addition to the better pricing I mentioned before, this includes strict management of fixed costs, a focus on controlling our inventory levels, and cost-efficient personnel structures. The company-wide performance program continues to deliver important contributions to sustainable earnings growth. Ladies and gentlemen, all these factors are having a positive impact on our financial figures. Let me elaborate. Group revenues for the first quarter of 2021 totaled around 26.8 billion euro. group earnings before tax reached 3.76 billion euro, and we were therefore significantly higher than the previous year. The EBT margin stood at 14%. The development in pre-owned car markets also contributed to the margin increase through higher prices for the sale of end-of-lease vehicles. Manufacturing costs rose compared to the previous year, mainly driven by the overall increase in sales volume and the growing share of electrified vehicles. But also rising raw material prices contributed to the increase. These increases, however, were partially offset by lower risk provisioning. These results show that we remain on track with our transformation process. Today's profitability will secure our future competitiveness. We continue to make systematic investments in important future areas of activity, such as digitization and electrification. This year alone, two more all-electric vehicles will be released onto the market, the BMW i4 and the BMW iX. Important milestones in our electromobility offensive. Research and development expenditure was almost on a par with last year at around 1.3 billion euro. Our R&D ratio of 4.8% was lower in 2020 due to the company's high revenues. The ratio of capitalized development costs of 22.6% was also lower year on year. The financial result of 732 million euros for the first quarter climbed more than 1.3 billion euro from the same period of last year. On the one hand, this was mainly due to the significantly higher earnings of 503 million euro from BMW Brilliance Automotive, which had been heavily impacted in the previous year by China's lockdown in response to the pandemic. On the other hand, the other financial result improved significantly year on year to reach a total of 334 million euro. This was due in particular to positive valuation effects compared to the previous year. Group liquidity increased to 20.1 billion euro in the first quarter, reflecting the strong operating result and positive free cash flow. Over the coming months, we will bring liquidity back within our target range of 17 to 18 billion euro. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the segments, beginning with the automotive segment. The segment's EBIT margin for the first quarter was 9.8% and underlines the company's excellent performance. The key drivers here were the improved pricing, the significant increase in sales, and higher after-sales revenues. Significant growth was posted by all three BMW Group brands, BMW, MINI, and Rolls-Royce. Rolls-Royce had its best quarter ever, selling a total of 1,380 automobiles. At BMW, in addition to the electrified vehicles, the BMW X models were especially in demand, as well as the BMW 3 Series and the 5 Series. The high earnings quality is also reflected in our strong free cash flow of 2.52 billion euro. A key driver, in addition to the significant increase in earnings before tax, was the strict management of our working capital. The segment's net financial assets rose significantly year on year to 21.3 billion euro due to the strong free cash flow. Let's turn now to the financial services segment. This segment also got off to a good start this year with around 489,000 new financing and leasing contracts concluded with retail customers during the reporting period. This represents a solid increase of 8.8% over the previous year. The recovery in new business with retail customers can be attributed to significant growth in financing business. Segment earnings before tax increased significantly to 787 million euro. The improved result was mostly due to the positive development of the pre-owned vehicle mark, markets and the related improvement in the risk situation for the segment. In the prior year quarter, additional risk provisioning for anticipated credit and residual value risks was needed due to the uncertainty created by the pandemic. Credit losses remain at a low level. The financial services segment makes comprehensive provisions for its main business risks on an ongoing basis. Current assessments confirm that residual value and credit risks are appropriately covered. The motorcycle segment successfully continued its growth strategy in the first quarter. Over the past year, 13 new models were released onto the market. During the reporting period, more than 42,500 motorcycles were delivered to customers. This is significantly more than at the same period of last year. The EBIT margin in this segment was 17.9%. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a look at our guidance for the year. We made a strong start in 2021. Despite this, we expect to see increasing volatility and we will continuously reassess the risk situation. The semiconductor supply situation will remain difficult, for instance. Additional headwinds are also expected due to rising raw material prices, particularly for rhodium, palladium, and steel. The volatile situation continues to affect the BMW Group's business performance. Based on current information, we're able to confirm our guidance for 2021. The following forecast for the main key figures does not take into account possible effects in connection with the European Commission's ongoing antitrust proceedings. We expect to see a significant increase in group pre-tax earnings this year. The automotive segment should post a solid increase in the number of BMW, Mini, and Rolls-Royce vehicles delivered to customers compared to the previous year. We expect the EBIT margin in the automotive segment to be at the higher end of our target range of 6-8% with a significant increase in ROCE for the automotive business. Our share of electrified vehicles in our deliveries will also continue to increase over the course of the year. In the financial services segment, we expect return on equity to be at the higher end of our target range of 12-15%. In the motorcycle segment, we anticipate a solid increase in deliveries. The EBIT margin should be within our target range of 8-10%, and ROCE for the segment should also be significantly higher year on year. Now, let's take a look at the non-financial indicators. The percentage of female managers at the BMW Group will increase slightly in 2021 as planned. We will significantly reduce CO2 emissions in our new vehicle fleet once again from today's adjusted benchmark. According to the planning, CO2 emissions per vehicle produced are likely to fall moderately. Ladies and gentlemen, our thinking and actions are always geared towards the long term. We're setting the right course today to achieve our short, medium, and long-term goals. This applies in particular to our focus areas of digitalization, electrification, and sustainability. Our products are in demand, and our operating business is performing well. For the remainder of the year, we expect a free cash flow of over 4 billion euro. We have the right strategy to successfully continue our transformation process based on a high profitability. And although we expect the second half of the year to be volatile, we are optimistic about the future. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Peter. And now, dear colleagues, we have time for your questions. I would like to ask the colleagues to follow the instructions. Let's get started with a Q&A. If you want to start a question, press 0 and 1, and then you will get the opportunity to ask your question. To withdraw your question, please press 0 and 2. If you're using a speaker, please ask your question using the receiver. And now we will have the first question.
Elisabeth Beermann.
The first question is by Elisabeth Berman by Bloomberg News. Thank you. Good morning. I have a question about the semiconductor situation. You didn't really comment too much on that compared to other manufacturers. Could you elaborate what processes you have put in place, and are you focusing on vehicles with a higher contribution margin, for example, and do you expect a further increase on your capacities? And a second question about your financial goals. VW increased its goals yesterday. BMW didn't do that. Can we expect more, or is the margin in the automotive area, as we have seen in the first quarter, is that the high point for this year, so to speak? Thank you, Ms. Berman. Mr. Simpson will be talking about the semiconductors, and I will answer the rest. Good morning, and thank you for your question. Let me answer as follows. First of all, BMW, we're building individual automobiles. That means every car is individually configured, which means that for over decades, we have had a very good transparency as far as our supply chains go. That is a well-trained muscle, so to speak. And these supply chains, these global supply chains, they have various steps down to the third and fourth supplier. If there are some bottlenecks, which is not uncommon in our industry, we can use our well-trained muscle, and we can make sure that the plants are running. In the first quarter, we had no impact on our production, even though the crisis was already in place because it already started in December last year. However, we started very early on. We contacted all of our suppliers, and also last year, we did not change our production program for this year, which is also helping us to a certain extent. And so far, we have had a very good first quarter. In the second quarter, we cannot assume that we will come out of that quarter unscathed. We had two plants where we had to reduce the production for a few days, not whole weeks, but a few days. We assume that we will have to make some adjustments in our production, but only to an extent, from today's point of view, only to an extent which will not have a major impact on our business. However, we are in this, it is still quite a few months until December. We're in May right now. And I said before, of course, the crisis is still there in the industry as a whole, and we're well aware of that. And it might even become worse, or it might last for another 12 to 24 months. But we are working in very close cooperation with our suppliers to manage our production program. And in doubt, of course, we would also always move to vehicles with a higher contribution margin. That is the current situation as of May 7th, 2021. Thank you, Mr. Zipse. Mr. Pater will also answer. Well, Ms. Behrman, of course, we're looking at the opportunities and risks constantly. And when we're looking at the opportunities, we had a very good start in the year. When I look at the order intake, we're well on course in all three regions of the world. We are seeing a positive development in Europe also, especially in April. So in all three major regions of the world, in the Americas and in Europe and in Asia, we're doing well. And also our financial services industry is doing well because of the pre-owned car crisis. And as Mr. Sipse has talked or has said about the semiconductor situation, also the raw material situation is something we need to be aware of. And we were not affected a lot in the first quarter, but there will be effects in the rest of the year, especially in the second half of the year, we will see more of an effect because of the raw material prices. And we are now at the upper end of our corridor. Based on what I said before, we assume that we will also see a very good second quarter. Thank you. And the next question, please. The next question is by Mr. Kornick from Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning. I have a question about your statement about the EU antitrust procedure. Was that a disclaimer for the yearly forecast, or do you expect in the second half of the year, do you expect decisions to be taken in this procedure from Brussels? Well, thank you, Mr. Kornick. Mr. Peter will answer. You know, Mr. Kornick, the EU Commission notified that in April 2019 about this antitrust procedure. And we expected to pay a certain penalty and made provisions. And within this context, it is very important that the EU Commission, they confirmed in a press release that the current investigations only affect the situation of antitrust in terms of competition, and it has nothing to do with the diesel situation. So there are no accusations of exhaust gas manipulations against BMW, and we can make no further comments on this ongoing procedure. Thank you. And we have the next question. The next question is by Mr. Gabriel Wirth from Bayerischer Rundfunk. Good morning. It is about the situation that you said that you're growing globally, but you're mostly growing within China. Every third car is already being sold there, more than in Germany, the US, and Great Britain together. Is that a strategy? Or is that something you want to continue? And will you be selling half of your cars soon in China? Or what does the situation look like? Thank you, Mr. Wirth. Mr. Sipse. Well, the first question of my short speech today, the BMW Group is a global company. And that is helping us currently a lot. And when we take a look at the first quarter, we can see very different developments that notably affect China. Let me give you some figures. In Germany, in the first quarter, compared to the previous year, -5.2%. Great Britain, -3.9%. And France, plus 39%. 5%, Italy plus 31%, Europe plus 8%, Europe minus 0.3%, and then, and what I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Witt, is currently it is quite chaotic, and fortunately, we're seeing positive figures in most markets. And it's not only China, also the U.S., which I have not mentioned yet. So all in all, we're satisfied with a global distribution of our growth. And we need to keep an eye on the developments of the different markets, and we will have to see what happens in the second half of the year after the vaccination has been completed. But it's not only China, which I'm trying to, we're following customer wishes and we follow markets. We are, all in all, the development is quite positive in different markets. And the question about being dependency on a certain market, which you implicitly asked, I mean, it always depends on the customer. We also depend on Germany. We depend on Europe. We depend on the U.S. We're doing quite well in all of these markets. So all in all, you need to take a look at it from the point of view of the different markets because of the size of China and Asia as a whole. Of course, there's a lot of growth there, also because of the post-pandemic upswing, we are seeing here a new middle class developing, which is seeking individual mobility. Thank you, Mr. Witt. Next question, please. The next question will be by David McHugh from IEP. Good morning. I'd like to ask whether the sales development in Germany, whether you can comment on that, where you saw a decrease of about 5%. Mr. Zipse? Yes, 5% is too much. That is my short comment. Well, it is a bit disappointing. However, we can say we are gaining market share because we're shrinking much less than our competitors. And because of that, it is not so dramatic. And also compared to the overall year, I mean, we also have the figures for April already, so things are turning around. April was much better. We're only looking at the first quarter, or we only commented on the first quarter. So the first quarter was a little troubling, but April is looking much brighter already. And the next question, please. Next question by Christina Amann by Reuters. Your line is open. Good morning. I have a question about the prices of the raw materials. You said that especially palladium, rhodium, and steel has increased or will increase, and that this poses a risk. Can you tell us more about that? And to what extent can you pass on these prices to the customers? And the second question is about electromobility. You have doubled the number of electrified vehicles, especially plug-in hybrids. On the one hand, what is your forecast for the rest of the year, and what does that mean for the overall result of BMW? Thank you, Ms. Amann. Electrified vehicles and the forecast will be done by Mr. Zipse, and we will hear from Mr. Peter about the raw materials prices. Mr. Zipse, well, electric cars play an important role, and that is not a new development. That has been the case for the past 10 years, and now the year 2021 is the year we have been working for many, many years in the past. We are now seeing the development of what we have prepared for many years on the when it comes to plug-in hybrids, where we have reached the fifth generation, and in the first quarter, we are the largest, we have delivered, or we have become the largest manufacturer in the world across all market segments. So we have high quality vehicles, and the customers love these vehicles, and they have been extremely successful. For example, the BMW X5 plug-in hybrid, and we have met customer expectations, and because of our high flexibility, we can react to the market and the forecast. Whether this will be still the case in 10 years from now, we don't know that, but that doesn't matter because we can react flexibly to the demands of the markets. And we're also ramping up the purely electric vehicles as well. And this is quite a success, especially this year. The iX3 were, and also the iX and the i4 are sold this year. And for all these three different vehicles, we have increased our production because the market has developed much more positively than we anticipated. And we're seeing a very positive market development here. And what I'm trying to say is here, the plug-in hybrids together with the fully electric vehicles, we will deliver more than, significantly more than 300,000 vehicles in total, and 100,000 of which will be purely electric vehicles. So that is a huge increase in both areas, and as far as profitability goes, we have seen the ramp up in the first quarter with many electric vehicles, which had no detrimental effect on our profitability. And Mr. Peter will tell us more about the development of the prices of the raw materials and potential financial risks. About your question, you asked about the effects of raw materials, and we expect an effect of about 500 million plus minus for the year as a whole. So we will be looking at a total of about 500 million to 1 billion cost by raw materials, and also effects cost by exchange rate effects. Thank you, Ms. Amon. Next question, please. The next question will be by Marco Amon. Good morning. I would like to know about the investments during the rest of the year, also in R&D. You have decreased investments last year, and also in the first quarter you were below last year's figures. Can you tell us what will happen during the rest of the year? Because many people are saying you cannot cut investments all of the time, and also the R&D costs of the first quarter, they're slightly above the previous year's quarter. So I'd like to know what is going to happen during the rest of the year. Thank you, Mr. Engman. That is an important question from Mr. Peter, our CFO. Mr. Engman, first of all, also in the past year, even though we have not stopped important topics or plans for the future. We have started the so-called Neue Klasse, and we have focused on the development of our performance program. And for the current year, we expect for R&D, we expect to be above the previous year's figures, and also when it comes to investments, we will be at about 35%, and the CapEx will be slightly higher than last year. But definitely below our strategic goal of 5%. So we will be between 4 and 5% here somewhere. So that means on the one hand, we are focusing on the topic of electrification, digitization, and sustainability. That's where we're investing. And at the same time, we still have our performance program, which helps us to improve our profitability. Thank you, Mr. Engelmann. Next question, please. And the next question is by Franz Hubig from Handelsblatt. Good morning, everybody. I have a short question. You mentioned before that you have over-fulfilled the CO2 targets, can we assume that you will be selling CO2 certificates because of that, and who will you be selling them to? Well, thank you, Mr. Hubeck. Mr. Zipse, yes, just like in the past years, to a certain extent, we will be selling the CO2 certificates in China and the U.S., not in Europe. These CO2 credits, because of the regulations, but by the end of next year, because of the dynamic ramp-up of the electrification, we expect that we can also meet the requirements in China and in the U.S. So the end of these purchases of the certificates the end of these purchases is in sight. Thank you, Mr. Hubeck. Next question, please. And the next question will be by Christian Hepner. Thank you and good morning. I have two questions. The higher raw materials prices, is that because of an overheating of the U.S. economy? And my second question about the semiconductors, you said that you don't expect any major impact on your business for the year as a whole. Maybe can you give us a figure of the number of vehicles you will not be able to produce, and what are your long-term plans so that you will not become or you will not fall victim of such a bottleneck in the future? Well, thank you, Mr. Hepner. Let me hand over to Mr. Peter. Well, first of all, the central point is how well are we set up with our raw material strategy and exchange rate strategy, and we're doing quite well here. We're always looking at these things from a strategic point of view and also from an operating point of view. We have a hedging strategy which had an effect in the first quarter when it came to raw materials prices. Whether this development is due to overheating of the economy, these are speculations. We have models, calculation models, hedging models, where we are based on economic data. We're taking a very systematic approach when it comes to our decisions, and we will continue to do so here. And about the topic of semiconductors, major effects on the second quarter or the rest of the year. Well, Mr. Zipse also talked about it already, that we might be affected here and there. But I said that we have had a good start of the second quarter. We're now almost in the middle of May. We have seen a strong April across all regions, and the order intakes are a very good level, and our whole purchasing team is constantly looking at this critical situation and trying to manage it as best as possible. And our expectations are towards our suppliers that what we have ordered in time, the things we have ordered in time, that they will be delivered to us in time. And the next question by Michael Rasch from the paper NZZ. Good morning. I have also a question about the computer chips. BMW apparently did quite well here, but what are your learnings for stockpiling, supply chain, or maybe can you specify your approach here? And then the recent change of the climate goals of the Federal Republic of Germany, what effect does that have? Thank you. Let me hand over the question to Mr. Zipse. Well, we are reacting to the chip situation just like to any other raw material situation. We are using our different mechanisms. We stockpile, but we also continue to use just-in-time delivery. We're not hoarding these chips. And then we also have long-term delivery contracts. We already have these in place, but also for the next generation, we will, especially when it comes to flexibility, we want to grow in the future, as we have said. So we will need to look at these things continuously and whether today's suppliers, whether they can accompany our growth. We always keep a close eye on these things. And we have long-standing relations with these suppliers. But whether BMW will start its own chip production, well, a lot is happening, and it's also supported. Well, it is not a long-term topic, this whole semiconductor topic, even though it will continue to concern us over the rest of the year. Well, about the more restrictive climate regulations, this is something we actually expected to happen. The question is, what effect will it have for the automotive industry? We are already assuming today that the goals will become more restrictive. And since we are in discussions also with the EU, looking at the goal of 50% to 55%, I think that there will be no dramatic increase of restrictions. It will be more of a progressive development. However, even if this was the case, we are ready for that. We're flexible. And when we're talking about expanding our battery technology, we only have 8.5 years, but these are 8.5 years where we have to set the course. So this doesn't additionally concern us. Okay, it is 11 o'clock right now, so it is time for the last question. The last question is by Daniel Zwick from the paper Debate. Mr. Zwick, can you please ask your question? Well, thank you for letting me ask this question. I have a question about China. You earned $500 million from the joint venture with Brilliance. Do you see any problems in the joint venture because of the difficulties, because of the holding? There was some insolvency. And could it be the case that the increase to 75% might be in danger when the investment agreement by the EU is being stopped, which this is what it looks like in Brussels? Let me pass on that question to Mr. Peter. Mr. Zwick, the second part of your question is independent of the difficulties of the holding of our partner. We cannot comment on the situation of other companies, but let me just say the following. The difficulties, the company has about 30% of our Chinese joint venture partner, and therefore that has no effect on our common joint venture, the BBA, and therefore there's no influence here. Dear colleagues, thank you for taking part in our conference today, and I wish you all the best, and we will see you next time. Thank you, and service from Munich. Goodbye. Thank you for your participation, and the conference is being concluded. Goodbye.